You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
It's Monday here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Your Pittsburgh Steelers got a big win, 23-19 over the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about that win, specifically the run game. Has it finally arrived? Have we seen what the Steelers have been building towards with the drafting of Broderick Jones and working on this offensive line for the past couple of seasons? We'll also talk about Kenny Pickett and the Steelers' playoff picture now that they sit 6-3, which is tied for the third best record in the AFC. All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. It's Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldo. It's going to be a fun episode. Let's get into it.
You are now listening to the North Shore Drive podcast, a show on all things Pittsburgh sports from the writers of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, hosted by Christopher Carter.
Hello, welcome to the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here with Ray Fittipaldo, one of our esteemed Steelers beat writers here at the Post-Gazette. You can get all of the written work at post-gazette.com. You can find this show as well as all of our video and audio content on Post-Gazette Sports, whether you listen to us on your favorite podcasting app or watch us on YouTube. Subscribe to this channel to get all of our daily content that comes out, like this video if you enjoy it. And you can see all the stuff we do, especially the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and sometimes Saturday episodes of the North Shore Drive podcast. Where this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar, the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. When you go to Mike's Beer Bar on the North Shore, it's right on Federal Street across the street from PNC Park, and it's the best bar in all of Pittsburgh. They have over 500 different available beers, 300 of those beers being local, and 80 of those local beers being available on tap, and they're changing them out every single week. It's the best place to go to try all the different flavors of beer that you could possibly want, as well as check out any sporting event you want, because they have over 20 televisions and they can get any game that you can imagine on that screen. They also have great food. We'll talk more about them later. Ray, I got to talk to you about this Steelers run offense, because Broderick Jones last week talked about how he wants 200 rushing yards every single game when the Steelers play, and he got his 200. They hit 205. Najee Harris, Jalen Warren both had a touchdown. Jalen Warren got over 100 yards, I think, for the first time in his career. I thought I was particularly impressed with the way that they tried to run the ball. It looked like they used more outside runs this week, and they said it was part of it was trying to catch the Packers off guard. What was your insight in how the run game kind of keyed things up for this Steelers offense this week?
You know, I thought it was huge, Chris, that they scored touchdowns on their first two drives, and they got first downs, you know, instead of three and outs and punting. That enabled them to get Jalen Warren into a nice rhythm early in the game. When they go three and out, you know, Warren sometimes doesn't get his series until maybe late first quarter, you know, depending on how things play out. But they were able to get him going on that first drive. I mean, it was a nice mix. You know, he and Najee kind of shared touches throughout the game. I think it was pretty even carry-wise, and I think it was pretty even in terms of their catches too. So that's the way it's supposed to work. You know, Matt Canada talked about it on Thursday. When you get first downs and when you extend drives, even when you're not necessarily scoring touchdowns, but when you extend drives, that just helps the rhythm of the offense. And I thought that was key for the running game here against the Packers.
When we were asking Broderick Jones and Najee Harris what's been different, Broderick Jones brought up the meetings that they've had on the team. They've been saying, hey, like, you know, we're trying to, you know, we've had offensive linemen and running backs meeting more frequently and setting things up and talking more openly about what each other want, what each other like, and that's led to results. Now, Najee Harris was sitting there and saying, like, well, I wasn't trying to put all of that out there, but certainly we've realized some things when we've done that. And part of what they've said they've realized is this offensive line likes to run. They like to get off the ball. They like to get downhill. They like to be the aggressive strikers instead of trying to be more passive and trying to figure out how to run, you know, block in zone situations. Right. At least by my look, Ray, I think that's a big part of the difference here is you see so many more plays where Isaac Samuel is pulling and attacking. Plays where Broderick Jones and Dan Moore Jr., even at tackle, are pulling and attacking into different spots. And it also helps Mason Cole getting to the second level, helping with certain blocks. Those type of things, I think, are a big part of what this offensive line has started to do right, that is creating more space for the running backs to not get hit in the backfield and get going downhill. And we see when both of these players, when they're not getting hit in the backfield consistently, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, they are a force.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote about that at the bye, Chris. You know, this offensive line had to get more aggressive in its mindset, in its approach. They need to play on the other line of the scrimmage rather than, you said, like being more passive, and they were just kind of trying to position block there, I thought, you know, for the first half. So whether that was a Matt Canada thing or a Pat Meyer thing, it doesn't matter. They finally have figured out what's working for them. And you mentioned Broderick Jones and his pulling. He is so athletic and such an easy mover when he gets out in space. I mean, it's just – it's pretty to watch when they pull him. And, you know, even when they're pulling guys, Chris, and it's not blocked up perfectly on the inside, Jaylen Warren is hitting that crease so quickly that he's able to get through and get 5 or 10 or 12 yards, even when it's not blocked up perfectly up front. There was a trap play I'm thinking of specifically where, you know, some of the linemen come free, you know, they're in position, but Jaylen Warren is so quick that he's past them, past the line of scrimmage, and he's getting to the second level so quickly. So the trap game has been good for them. That's been going on for like a month now. But to your point, it's more aggressive. Get on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Get up to the second level and see if they can make things happen. And I think that's been a big difference in how far they've come here really over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think it's been a big difference. And it sets up everything else in the offense. Now, we didn't see the passing offense take advantage of that, and we'll talk about that in the next segment. But to me, that's the more balanced look you've been waiting to see for the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a group that they've, you know, last year they brought in James Daniels and Mason Cole. This year they brought in Isaac Seumalo. They drafted Broderick Jones. This is the look that you've been waiting to see with them getting downhill. And listen, the Packers, they're not, you know, some unstoppable force on defense. They weren't one of the better run defenses in the NFL, but they were a top 10 defense scoring wise going into this game. So they have assets and they have things that you're going to, and a lot of people were talking about, oh, their secondary needs to be attacked because Jaire Alexander wasn't going to be in this game. And Kenny Pickett needed to throw the ball a lot. The Steelers came out and they said, we don't care who they have in their secondary, even though it's new guys that were lining up, they believed they were going to run the ball, and they did run the ball. And to me, I think that was a really good sign. If they can do that more often, you know, obviously you can't do it every single game all the time. But if you could do that more often this season, that can be the factor that helps you win a lot more football games, especially when Kenny Pickett does struggle like we saw him do in this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's big, especially with teams getting wise to the Steelers throwing to Jaylen Warren as much as they have. They need the running game to be there because the passing game just hasn't been, as you mentioned, Chris. And even some of the things that were working when the receivers weren't getting targets and weren't getting touches was Jaylen Warren out of the backfield. But how many times did he slip out of the backfield yesterday and they were on him? Mm-hmm. Or even if he did have a catch, it was a short gain. So teams are starting to take that away. Yeah, Najee had the one where he should have had a first down. That was really the only one that I remember where the Steelers had success throwing to their running backs. And that one was just a blown assignment. You know, there was nobody there to cover Najee. I mean, he had open grass, should have had the first down. So that's important. Teams are going to make adjustments on you. Teams are going to start taking things away. So you better be able to attack teams with your running game if the passing game isn't working. And right now, unfortunately for the Steelers, the passing game isn't working. It's actually regressed in the last couple of weeks rather than progressed.
Let's talk about that in the next segment, because I think that's a huge part of the question of the direction the Steelers are headed right now, especially with this offense, even when the run game is clicking. We'll get to that on the other side of the break here on the North Shore Drive podcast on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldi. But first, I want to remind you, this show is brought to you by Mike's Beer Bar. They're the best bar in all of Pittsburgh, and I really mean that with all my heart. I was there again this weekend. It is a fantastic place. You walk in there, there's over 20 televisions. You're right on the North Shore, so it's perfect if you're going to a Steelers game, going to a Pitt game, you're going to an event at PNC Park, you're just around Pittsburgh. It's a great view. It's by the river. So when you get down there, you can do so many different things. But when you're in there, you can enjoy one of their 500 different available beers. 300 of those beers are from the local area in Western Pennsylvania, and 80 of those beers are available on tap, and they're always changing them out. So whether you want a stout, an IPA, a Hefeweizen, Oktoberfest, a holiday beer with the holidays around the corner, all those things are available at Mike's Beer Bar, and they have so many different flavors for you to try. Even if you're not a big fan of beer, they have beers that are sweeter or sour that can give you different looks and feels to find your whatever beer that you might try to like in there. They also have amazing food, like their steak on a stone meal, where they bring it, you pick the choice cut of steak, they bring it to you on a heated stone, and every single piece that you cut off, you press into the stone, and you choose how well done you want every single bite of that steak to be. It's an amazing place. You got to go to Mike's Beer Bar today. Go to Mike's Beer Bar, again, the best bar in Pittsburgh, right on the North Shore on Federal Street, right across the street from PNC Park. And when you get there, tell them Chris sent you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back here on the North Shore Drive podcast of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldi, talking Steelers football after their 23-19 win over the Green Bay Packers. Ray, for all the good that the run game did, the pass game didn't. And it was kind of a big talking point, and I think it would be a much bigger talking point were the run game not successful and were the defense not once again clutch in closing out the game. But Kenny Pickett finishes 14 of 23, 126 passing yards, zero touchdowns, but also zero interceptions. Now, granted, there was a couple plays that could have been intercepted if the Packers were on their stuff. But I looked at this, and I was just like, man, this passing offense, it can't figure things out. And it's so crazy because just a couple weeks ago, they were throwing the ball over the middle. They were figuring things out. Kenny Pickett was seeing the field a little bit better. And now it's like that's all gone away again. What's your analysis on what continues to be wrong? Why can't this offense take a linear path forward instead of two steps forward, two steps back?
I thought Kenny was locking in on receivers and wasn't reading the field yesterday. You talked about one of those missed opportunities for the Packers, and I referenced it in the last segment, but little pass out in the flat to Jaylen Warren, linebacker, very easily could have undercut that and been going the other way for a touchdown. So, when a guy is covered that tightly, there's no way you even try to make that throw, much less try to squeeze it in there. So there were lots of opportunities, Chris, where the Packers were playing single high safety. They weren't playing cover two. Mm-hmm. You know, Kenny had options to go to George Pickens or Deontay Johnson. He didn't. He didn't go there. He didn't give his guys a chance to win in one-on-one coverage. So I don't know if that's Matt Canada and Mike Tomlin telling him you're not throwing the ball downfield, or I don't know if that's Kenny Pickett either not seeing it, which would be terrible, that would be bad, or he's not confident enough either in himself or in those guys to make a play one-on-one. But whatever it is, they got to start taking advantage of those one-on-ones. We heard it all last week. You got to give George Pickens more opportunities. You got to give Deontay more opportunities. Well, you didn't. And the one he had to Deontay Johnson down about the 10-yard line, it was severely underthrown. Now, I don't know if he tried to underthrow that because Deontay maybe didn't have enough separation to make that throw, but he threw it up there and it was easily It was easily broken up by the Packers defender. So passing game just hasn't been good enough, Chris. They're not targeting their best receivers enough. 8 targets combined for Deontay Johnson and George Pickens. 4 receptions combined. No receiver, no player over 50 yards receiving. Yeah. It's just not good enough.
I looked at that. It was funny. On the opening 2 drives, I thought they were hitting unconventional players. You saw the one pass to Connor Hayward out in space, got him a first down. The play action, and they did a pass to Darnell Washington, and I was like, oh my gosh, Darnell Washington exists, didn't know. And he got guards, and I was like, okay, these are unconventional ways they're getting things in the passing game. Solid. If they can combine that with hitting Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, this offense is going to be rolling. Except the Johnson and Pickens part didn't come. And I think part of it was, you're saying, he was staring down receivers. He wasn't looking at the defense. And one thing the Packers were doing a lot of, they were generating simulated pressures, which means they were basically faking the blitz. They were packing all their guys at the line of scrimmage, like you said, one safety deep back, and they're basically showing man coverage. And sometimes they were in it. Sometimes that man coverage was there, and the blitz was coming. And Kenny Pickett has about 3 seconds to read that, but there was 1 or 2 times Kenny saw it, but most of the game, if they were in man, Kenny was a little flustered by it. And sometimes when they did the simulated pressure and it wasn't a blitz, they dropped back into a zone coverage. Kenny Pickett wasn't identifying it, and to me, that was what was part of the struggle. There was one play in the red zone where he threw the ball to Connor Hayward over the middle, and it was a breakup because they were sitting on it. He didn't, if he just takes a second to realize that they're in a zone, there was nobody deep to even cover Deontay Johnson on this go route. And Deontay Johnson immediately puts his hand up and is like, you got me. It's like, just lob it up to the end zone. I'll be there. And he doesn't see it. And it was just a bad miss again. And again, I think it all comes from this, from not seeing the field, from not looking at the defense and not trusting what you've been working on all week long for your receivers to be where they are. And that's a classic thing in football, right? Like, they always talk about, you need to know where your receivers are going to be at all times. That's the comfort level that you need to be with the quarterback. And it just seems, Ray, despite, what was this, his 22nd start in the NFL, he hasn't gotten there yet.
Yeah, I think there's some misconceptions about, you know, Pickett and his college background. People think, oh, he played in a pro-style offense for Mark Whipple, who was, a coach in the NFL. Therefore, he should be well-versed in reading coverage. Well, he isn't. When he was at Pitt, he was only taught to read one side of the field. He was often going off of his first read. It was too easy sometimes. Hey, I got Jordan Addison. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw him the ball. He never had to make those full progressions in college. So, I mean, I would love to talk to Mark Whipple about how he was brought along. But you talk to people around the Pitt program, Chris, like I have in the last couple of years, mm-hmm. he was never asked to be that full reader of the field in college. He was only asked to read half the field. So, the Steelers likely knew that. They knew they were going to have to coach that, but you're right. I mean, 1.5 games in his professional career, it's not really any better. And, you know, to be honest with you, it's not good enough. I mean, even an average quarterback can make some of those reads and, be more successful in the passing game than Pickett has been. So we'll see where it goes from here. But I thought Pickett said it best last week. You know, at the midway point of the season, you kind of are what you are. I suppose he can get better in that in the second half of the season. But really, I think that's something they're going to have to attack more over the offseason. And I think that's why you see the Steelers leaning into the running game as much as they are now. They kind of realize what they have there. Kenny Pickett's not going to be able to pass them to wins. They're going to have to win with defense, and they're going to have to win with the running game.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be – I think there's going to be a big change that needs to happen in the pass game if it's going to find any rhythm. And again, it's like things that they've done this year have worked at times. You know, they were starting to get the ball over to guys. And I guess, you know, things also might have looked a little differently if they didn't get called for the offensive pass interference, which I missed immediately live when – because I was going down to the tunnel when that was going down. And then it was, towards the end of the game, 3rd down, the Steelers, if they get the first down, they can run out the clock and the Packers never get the ball back. And Kenny Pickett hits a wide open George Pickens, but Calvin Austin is called for pass interference because they ran a pick play. But when I look back at that, I look back at a closer, like, slowed down replay of it, because when I saw the initial replay and it moved like in live speed, I was like, oh, that was a pick play. But then I look back, really, the Packers corner, I thought he did. It was such a savvy move on his part, because you can see Pickens beat him in the route, and it's like he's wide open. Like, he, like, there's nothing that he's going to do. So instead of trying to catch up to Pickens, he sees Austin, kind of slows down, leans backwards, and draws the contact, and then just throws himself in the air. I thought it was a great flop, great act, and it drew the penalty that saved the play. But Calvin Austin, he wasn't even trying to get him. He was trying to run a separate route, and so he just said, I'm going to jump into him and draw this penalty here. And I was like, man.
Yeah, if you look at Calvin Austin, he actually tries to veer back up towards the line of scrimmage to avoid that a little bit, kind of like half a step. Okay, I'm going to go under so I don't get called here. He ended up getting called. I mean, I thought all those pick plays are kind of judgment calls, Chris. It's kind of like, it's kind of like roughing the passer or any of these judgment calls that officials make. But, yeah, unfortunately, that one went against the Steelers and Calvin Austin.
Yeah, it did. But, you know, the Steelers also got the benefit of that, the call where, where Kenny Pickett threw a sideways pass. It was really a lateral, and it was ruled an incomplete pass live. If it's not ruled an incomplete pass, the Packers would have been able to scoop it up and probably return it for a touchdown. The Steelers getting 7 points saved there. But hey, the Steelers have been on the bad end of a lot of calls this season, so they're not going to apologize for anything like that happening in their favor. But again, it's a big question. How good can this Steelers team be through the rest of the season? Can they keep winning games like this? They've won all their games by single possession, and they continue to be a team that can find ways to win late. Well, for all the talk of they can't sustain this, they have sustained this for now 9 games into the season. They have 8 games left here, and they sit at 6-3 and the third best record in the AFC. We'll talk about where that is in the playoff picture and what the rest of the AFC North did and whether that was actually the result the Steelers needed in the Ravens-Browns game. All that and more here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter and Ray Fittipaldo talking with you here. But first, I want to remind you, this show is also brought to you by Savinus Kane & Gallucci. They're a mesothelioma and asbestos lawyers with over 85 years of experience. Call them now for a free consultation. That's Savinus Kane & Gallucci. We're also brought to you by GameTime.co, where buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful, because GameTime is an app that's the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all your sports, music, and comedy and theater events near you. If you've ever had to buy tickets and you're running up to the last minute and you need a great deal, GameTime is the exact place that you really need to look for. You can go to the website GameTime.co or download the GameTime app right on your mobile device, and then that will allow you to go into Game Time, see all the tickets available, and find the best price where they have a best price guarantee that can't be beat. And you'll find the best price, but you'll also see the benefits that Game Time gives you in trying to figure out what seat you want. Every seat comes with the ability to see the view from what that seat will give you, whether it's in a sporting event or in a theater, if you want to see what that view is. You also don't have to deal with the hidden fees. As you know, sometimes you're buying a ticket on different places, and you'll click on one price, then you get to the final price and it's something completely different. You're like, that's not what I thought I'm paying. Game Time gets rid of that problem. They show you the price, they show you all the fees up front. You click on a button, then you click on another, and the tickets are yours right onto your phone if you have the Game Time app. Download the Game Time app today. And again, they have the best price guarantee. That they're so confident that they'll give you the best price that they say if you find tickets to the same event at the same section and row for less somewhere else, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PITTPIT for $20 off your first purchase, or go to the website GameTime.co. Terms and conditions apply. Create an account and redeem code PITTPIT for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. We're back here on the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Chris Carter, Ray Fittipaldo, talking to you on this Monday morning. Ray, the Steelers look to be in a decent spot for the playoff picture of the AFC. They're still the 5 seed, and they still don't have a wide margin of error right now. But of all the teams that are in there, there's really only 2 teams that are ahead of them as far as record wise, the Chiefs are the number one seed right now at 7-2. The Ravens could have been the number one seed if they had beaten the Browns this past week, and they would have been 8-2, but they lost. That drops in the 7-3. They're the two seed still leading the AFC North. You got the Jaguars at 6-3 and the Dolphins at 6-3. They lead their divisions, so they're the top seeds. But then the Steelers are the top wild card team at 6-3, but right behind them, the Browns tied with them because they have, because the Steelers have the tiebreaker, they get the higher seed. And then the Texans, who beat the Steelers earlier this season, right behind them by a game at 5-4. And then you have a mess of teams, the Bengals at 5-4, the Bills at 5-4, the Colts and the Raiders both at 5-5. There's not a lot of space here, but Ray, should the Steelers feel a sense of like, you know, hey, they're in, or not even about the feel, do you look at the Steelers and think that they're in a really good position to keep controlling their destiny this year?
Yeah, I think they're in a good spot, Chris. And I, you know, if you just win the games that you're supposed to win down the stretch here, so you beat the Cardinals at home, you beat a bad Patriots team at home, mm-hmm. you beat a very mediocre Colts team on the road, mm-hmm. You got 9 wins. And then all you're talking about is, hey, probably winning, you know, to earn a wild card spot, you're probably only talking about winning one of those AFC North road games, or the Bengals at home, or the Seahawks on the road. You get one out of those 5, you're probably in. Now, would you be in the best position? I don't know. Yeah, you'd probably be in much better shape if you're 11-6, or you'd be in terrific shape if you somehow find a way to win the AFC North. But if we're just talking about getting in to the AFC playoffs, I think you win those 3 games you're supposed to win, and then you just pull one mini upset, you know, one upset on the road, then I think they're there. So, yeah, I think they're in pretty decent spot at this point in the season.
I talked to Shelby Cassesi from 93.7 The Fan and WPXI on last week's Wednesday episode about their path to the playoffs here and looking at those winnable games. Like you said, the Packers were one game I felt like they had to win. The Packers are not a good team. This is at home. You win this game, you're in a good spot. But you're right. The Cardinals at home. The Cardinals just got Kyler Murray back, so let's see how that continues to progress there. But that's still a team you should be able to beat in your own house. You have the Patriots in your own house. They're a bad team. You should be able to handle them. The Colts then also will come off of a long week because that's a Thursday night game against the Patriots. And as long as that's not flexed out, the Steelers would have a longer break to go get ready for that road game. And you can beat another middling Colts team that's sitting at 500 right now. It's like you said, there's your 3 wins right there in back-to-back-to-back weeks. But I look at these other 5 games here. This upcoming game on the road at the Browns. The game after that, on the road at the Bengals. Then after the Colts game, they're back home for their final home game of the season against the Bengals. Then they go back-to-back weeks on the road at the Seahawks on New Year's Eve, and then at the Ravens on January 7th to close out the regular season. When you look at those 5 games, at Browns, at Bengals, hosting the Bengals, at the Seahawks, at the Ravens, if you had to pick 2 that you thought were the most winnable, what do you think are out of those 5?
Probably the Seahawks game, because I'm still not convinced that the Seahawks
are
a great team. And then, you know, flip a coin with those division games. You know, they've won in Baltimore, they've lost to the Ravens at home. They've won in Cincinnati, and they've lost to the Bengals at home. So I don't know, you know, which one of those games on the specific date, you know, they could win, but I think you just, you know, win any one of those games, and I think, you know, you'll probably get in. So, yeah, the Seahawks, and then pick a division game at any of those games. I wouldn't pick them in Cleveland just early in the week, Chris, just because the attrition, I mean, they're defense and the injuries. You know, they're probably going to get Minka back this week. That'll help. But they're leaking all over the place right now. So I think this game in Cleveland is going to be tough. But, yeah, any of those other games on the road in Cincinnati at home, in Baltimore, I think any of those are doable for the Steelers.
I'm right with you, especially this week. I just, man, the timing of how they've lost their linebacker core, where, you know, 2 weeks ago, you said, man, these linebackers are playing well. They have 3 guys who can all wear the green dot, who can all communicate, who can play against the run, who can play against the pass. They're helping you figure things out. Quan Alexander just closed out the Titans game with the interception he had at the end there. Cole Holcomb knocked out of that game. And again, just a couple weeks, after the trade deadline ends that you can't even address it by going and finding another linebacker that someone was willing to give up for, you know, a draft pick or something like that. And then this week you lose Quan Alexander for the season to a torn Achilles tendon. So now you're down two of those three linebackers. Mark Robinson has to play more. And listen, I think everyone's excited about how Mark Robinson can look in preseason and how he can, when he locks onto a play, he can hit really hard and play that. But it was very clear that the communication part of the game was a little bit slower for Mark Robinson than it would be the chiseled veterans that they brought in. And the reason that they brought those guys in to defense more sound here, I think that's going to be a big thing to look at. I think it's a really tough matchup to pull off in a week against a Brown team that still runs the football pretty well, even without Chubb, and has been getting it going with David Njoku over the middle. That's going to be a lot to ask for a Steelers linebacker core, unless they find some other way to do it. Is there a way that you think the Steelers should address the linebacker situation other than just playing more Mark Robinson? Because, you know, some people brought up how Nick Herbig could play some off-ball linebacker. We've seen plays where the Steelers kind of have stunted their edge rushers to one of them might line up in that spot there occasionally. But doing that, if you did that more consistently, that would take them out of their element of being edge rushers, unless you wanted to start playing three edge rushers on every play and just saying, hey, we're going to rotate these guys and somebody is going to be the off-ball guy because you just need another person that can help there.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you're taking your best pass rushers and putting them into a position where they're not going to affect the game as much as they would as a pass rusher. So I don't you know, they could do that with Herbig, but they're not going to move Herbig from outside linebacker to inside linebacker. But, you know, Chris, to your point, the trade deadline just passed. I mean, the only thing that you're going to do now is pluck players off your own practice squad, pluck players off other people's practice squads, or sign street free agents. You know, I looked last night, Nick Kwiatkowski, the Bethel Park kid, he's still a free agent. They cut him, though, and they didn't bring him back to the practice squad. So that probably tells you all you need to know about their feelings on him. I suppose he could be back, but I wouldn't expect him to be added to the 53-man. I'd expect him to go to the practice squad. So we'll see how it goes here. But, yeah, unfortunately for them, kind of happened a week or two too late here post-trade deadline.
Yeah, I think that's a big question here. What do they do moving forward? But, again, even if they lost this game, they'd split with the Browns, and the Browns would then be in a position to kind of you know, even it out, and it'd be a race to see who could get the better spot in the playoff picture. But I look at this schedule. If they could find a way to win one of their AFC North games, they have four left down the stretch here, and they handle their business against the Cardinals, Patriots, and Colts. That's four wins right there. If they split with the AFC North down the stretch, that's five wins. And now you're talking about an 11-win team, and we still haven't even gotten to the Seahawks team that we both agree is not as good as we think that they've shown record wise because of their opponents. So there's still a lot of space for the Steelers to find ways to make sure that they're in a very competitive picture in the AFC North. My last question to you, Ray, would it have been better for the Ravens to win that game against the Browns? It was a wild finish. The Ravens throw a pick six with 8 minutes to go, but the Browns miss the extra point. And then the Ravens have a chance to close it out. They don't. Deshaun Watson gets in the field goal range at the last second. The Browns take a late lead and they win the game. So they're 6-3 tied with the Steelers, but the Ravens are now only a half game up on the Steelers, and the Steelers have beaten them once already. if you're the Steelers, was it more advantageous for the Browns to win, or should they have been rooting for the Ravens to win and they can try to make that up another time?
Yeah, I guess it depends if you're a half full or half empty type of a guy. If you were a half empty type of a guy and you only wanted the Steelers to sneak in as a wild card, then, you know, that was a bad result. But if you have higher expectations for this team, you think they can maybe, you know, buck the odds and win the division, then that was obviously a good result. You know, Chris, we're entering week 11. I still think it's kind of early to kind of, you know, pick out which is a better result in division games at this point in the season.
True.
You can make that same argument about Thursday night with the Bengals traveling to Baltimore. Would it be better if the Bengals lost that game, push them down more, or would it be better if the Bengals won? You know, so I know who's rooting for the Bengals to lose that game: Kansas City, Dolphins, all those teams. Because the Bengals, despite their record, they're still a very dangerous team. Oh, they have a great quarterback. So they're probably rooting for the Bengals to get pushed down in the standing. So I don't know. We'll see how it goes, but I think it's still a little bit too early to kind of pick and choose who you want to win those division games.
No, I agree. I think it's gonna be a wild ride. And Thursday night, all eyes will be on that game. I agree with you about the Bengals though. Like, as much as everyone might want the Ravens to kind of take a knockdown to help them, there's a lot of teams out there that are like, hey, if the Bengals could just not make the playoffs, that would be nice, because the Chiefs have had problems with them, the Bills have had problems with them, but the Bills they're out of the playoffs right now. If the playoffs started right now, this very day, before granted they play the Broncos tonight, and this could all change if they win that game. But if the Bills they could probably use the Bengals to lose and to further push them down. If the Bengals lose, they're 5-3 right now. No, they're 5-4. If they lost, they'd be tied with the Colts and the Raiders, and they have a schedule that's not exactly easy, because they won the division last year, and this is the burden of having to win the division. After they play the Ravens this upcoming week, then they have the Steelers, then they have to go on the road to play the Jaguars, and then down the stretch they play a Vikings team that I still don't understand what they're doing with Josh Dobbs and how they're just looking like they never lost a step with him, even though he just got there last week. But then they play on the road at the Steelers, on the road at the Chiefs, and then they play the Browns at home, and the Browns have given them a hard time this year. The Bengals, who were looking like the team that could be, the team of destiny this year, could be fighting for their lives. Whole lot of action to play out here. We'll keep an eye on that here for you guys at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He's Ray Fittipaldo. I'm Chris Carter. Thanks for tuning into the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You can find this show and all of our content that we release on your favorite podcasting apps and on YouTube. Just search Post-Gazette Sports. Like this video if you enjoy it. Subscribe to this channel to get all of that daily content. You can also read all our written work at post-gazette.com, where we're breaking down all things sports for you at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Subscribe today. Thanks again, everybody. We'll be back Wednesday with more talk, getting you set up for the week right here on the North Shore Drive podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the North Shore Drive podcast from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all the sports coverage from the Post-Gazette that we have to offer, visit post-gazette.com.